I've loved that passage, and I always find ways to connect. I try to find ways to connect with this passage, and I don't think I'm very good at it. I love having grown up in the Roman Catholic tradition. We had all the saints, and if you look at medieval paintings of the saints, they always have a halo, which is about, you know, this radiance that comes from being in God's presence, that actually becomes identifiable, that those who encounter those who are close to Christ can be aware of the light that is within them, the light of their life. And so I've always thought that maybe what happened to Moses was a little bit like that. But when you actually read that passage fairly carefully, it's like, wow, his face was actually so bright that it was blinding. And I've never seen anybody like that except, well, I'm not going there. That would be a bad joke. So I was going to say something about people from Seattle who show up in Hawaii in February. It's like you can always tell the people who came from the Northwest when you're one of those sunny climes. Anyway, too much information. Sorry, I went there. I didn't mean to do that. But it ties into this additional passage we have today, and the passage of the Transfiguration. And kind of what has happened prior to this is Jesus has fed the 5,000, and then he's curious about what people are saying about him. He asks his disciples, so what are people saying about me? Who do people think that I am? And he hears that, well, some people think that you're Elijah, and some think that you are, and Jesus says, well, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the one that God has promised to send to us from very old times that we have been knowing you're coming, and you are this one. And Jesus tells Peter to be silent about that. So then Jesus foretells his death, and Peter immediately gets on his case, and Jesus yells at Peter. And I would not want to be Peter. You know, he kind of moves along, he bumbles along. And he kind of gets yelled at by Jesus for trying to tell Jesus not to do what Jesus has to do. But then immediately, the next story after that is this one, and it says about 8 days after these things happened, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and they went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became a dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking to Jesus. And they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to be accomplished in Jerusalem. And now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. And while he was still saying this, a cloud came and it overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they emerged from the cloud. And then a voice came that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent in those days, and they told no one about this thing that they had seen. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. So today I would like to imagine, use my imagination and imagine that I am an aging James. And if you would be kind enough to try to imagine the same thing. If you can give me a second. So So I am James. My father was Zebedee. My mother, Salome. My famous brother is John, who you all know, John, who is the anchor of the Gospel of John and the letters of John. I am I'm in some ways the lesser known brother, but I was among those who Jesus held very tightly. So of the apostles, there were the four of us that were particularly special to him, it seems. He would oftentimes ask us to do things where the others would not be included, and that would be Peter and Andrew and John and myself. We were kind of the inner circle of the inner circle, and we were trusted companions of the Lord. Most of what we did was, you know, taking care of business and thinking about where we would go next and how we would debrief the circumstances that we'd been in, and we would talk about, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, and we would wonder about how that happened. And it was so amazing and humbling to be in Jesus' presence, because he was constantly inviting us to look at the world through eyes that were different than the eyes we usually brought. He would open up to us and to all the people that he taught a way of seeing how the world works that was kind of flipped around from what we had been taught our entire lives to feel and think and to believe. And so, you know, being surprised by Jesus was not something that was particularly unusual, but we would generally, you know, when we weren't with Jesus, we talk about, well, wow, what happened there? Did you get what I got out of that? And we would have those conversations. We were close together. We were loved by one another. We trusted each other, and we built this really tight group and community. But there was this one time, kind of as Jesus went from his ministry in Galilee and when he where he'd kind of been around and he'd been teaching for a long time, and we'd come to be trusted and we'd come to trust him. And then there was an event where Jesus invited Peter and John and myself to come with him up on a mountain. And while we were there, it's like everything kind of went crazy. What's interesting is that it was all those years ago, and I still find it hard to even get my head and my heart around what happened on the mountain that day. So we were with Jesus, and we'd hiked up the mountain, and we were tired. And it was it was kind of late, and we were warm, and it was comfortable, and I was heavy with sleep, and so were Peter and John. We were kind of in that place where you're not asleep and you're not awake, and you're just kind of holding that space. And as we were there, kind of in that condition, we became aware. We looked over at Jesus, and it's like his face was glowing, and his clothing was radiant. It's like the light was coming from inside of his garments instead of being reflected off of it. That it was coming from within him, and his face was radiant. It was like it was brilliant, and I saw what was happening there, and of course I was afraid, and a little bit I thought I might be dreaming, and I was kind of connecting with John and with Peter, and they were also very confused about what was happening, and so it was pretty obvious that we were all saying the same thing, so it could not have been a dream, or we were all having the same dream, and yet there was a way in which it wasn't exactly right, and we saw Jesus, and there with him was Moses and Elijah. And in our tradition, Moses, when the time came for him to die, he went off into the mountain. and died alone. So there's so there were a lot of people who believe that Moses actually never died. And Elijah was taken up in the chariot, you know, and so we have Moses and Elijah, we have this tradition of our people about, well, maybe these people never exactly died, and we've got that going on, but also we have Moses, who represents to us the law. Moses gave to us the Torah, gave to us this foundation of our understanding of ourselves, who we are and what it means to be us, so Moses is like the anchor, the very center of our faith, of our believing, of our family, of our people, of our tradition. And then we have Elijah, who is the king of the prophets. He's like the prophet's prophet. And so in the moment when Jesus is on the mountain, when he is glorified, and we see this insight into him, and he is standing with all of the law, and he's standing with all of the prophets, and I don't even know exactly how we knew that it was Moses and Elijah, but it seemed to be absolutely clear to us that that's who was present with him on the mountain, and we understood that all that we had and all that we knew in our scriptures was being fulfilled in this moment, that as Elijah and Moses were with Jesus, all of the law and all of the prophets, all of the stories that we had held together as people were being realized in this moment, and as Jesus shone in ways that Elijah and Moses did not shine, it was clear to us that Jesus was superior to them, if that's the right word, that they were here to be with him and to empower him for what was to come. You know, and Peter did his Peter thing, and he said something stupid, which, you know, we all do that sometimes. And Peter talked about how he should build the three tabernacles, or the three tents for Jesus and for Elijah and for Moses. And then the cloud came, and it was terrifying. And there was the voice of God, and that was kind of terrifying too. And then, as the cloud lifted, we looked and there was Jesus, who we had known so well, we'd come to know so well, who we trusted with our lives and our livelihood. And it was just Jesus, just him, kind of his ordinary self. And, you know, I never really talked to John or Peter about what we saw on that mountain. None of us talked about it until after Jesus had been raised from the dead, and we understood about the glory that was in Jesus in a whole different way. We just kind of held this thing that happened in our hearts, and it had happened, and it had confused us, it had been a bit bewildering, and yet there was something about the moment of seeing Jesus in his glory that spoke to the truth that Jesus is the divine. But there was another way where when the cloud lifted and it was just Jesus, that he was no less holy, that he was no less real, that he was no less commanding of our lives and our loyalty than he had been in his radiant form. And after that event, I saw Jesus a little bit differently. But I saw every human being I came into contact with also a little bit differently. I realized that the breath of God is in each one of us. And Jesus, in his ordinary self, was extraordinary. But so was Peter. And so was John. And so was Judas. And so was Matthew. And so so were all of those of us who had the privilege to know the Christ. And my friends, so are you. For you have known Christ, and Christ has known you. And the light that exists within you can transform the world, even as we transform the world in our day. May you know that there's holiness in the ordinary, and that each one of you is extraordinary in the way that God intends, that each one of you stands also with Jesus in God's heart, loved fully and invited to the table of God's banquet. Let us pray. Lord, for the gift of the Transfiguration, a passage that I've never been able to really get my whole head around or heart around, I give you thanks. I give you thanks that it always challenges me and puzzles me and invites me to look at myself and invites each of us to look at ourselves and to wonder just how brilliant is the spark of your life that moves us through the motions of our days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.